Hello and welcome to the Behind the Bra podcast, brought to you by Barbells for Boobs, where we want to redefine the standard of breast healthcare and improve the quality of life post-diagnosis. I'm your host, Ziana Hansen, and I'm the founder of this incredible organization. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we have Lily Yang, breast cancer survivor, coach, and nutritionist. Lily, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me for today. I'm very excited and nervous.
Oh, is this your first podcast?
It's my first podcast.
I did it again!
You did it. You made it.
So far, 100% of my guests, it's their first time podcast. Oh. You'll get through this. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be here like...
No, it's not. No. Was that a false... Ah, Felicia. You know what? She just ruined my 100% of first timers. How are you?
Great. I'm really impressed with this gym. Like, you guys have everything, literally everything in Jakarta. It's like, garage is so amazing. I love it.
Building this, I was like, breast cancer survivors and breast cancer period deserves the best, right? So.
Oh, wow.
Right?
How many years ago?
We started building this like 2 years ago. In my head, I started building it when I started Barbells for Boobs. It just started in my garage.
Oh, wow.
So we had a like garage gym, and then we had another facility where we had a gym. And so we've always kind of had a gym experience, no matter where we were operating Barbells for Boobs. So it's taken us 10 years to get it to be this good.
But I love it, though. I really, really love it.
You just have to come and train more often.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I have my other gym, but like I'm going to commit myself to try to come in like at least once in a week.
At least once a week. So, Lily, who exactly are you? That's a loaded question. So, give us a little background.
Very abstract.
Give our listeners a background on kind of where did you grow up? Where are you from?
Okay.
Just a little background on Lily.
All right. So, I was born and raised in Korea. I moved here probably 12 years ago, like after I graduated college.
After you graduated college.
Right.
So you went to college in Korea.
Like from like kindergarten to college in Korea.
Because that's
I did like an exchange program in Japan for a year, but like entire time in the education in Korea.
In Korea. Perfect.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it has been like 4 years that I've been survived. Like since I diagnosed and then after treatments, 4 years. 4 years of remission.
What do you consider your like... your date? So when you say 4 years, because every woman has a different like date that's significant to them. So what's your date?
So it's, I would say I count as like first diagnosed day.
Like
so
the day that you were diagnosed.
Day that I'm diagnosed.
4 years ago.
I think that's the Korean way that they count it or yeah. I don't know.
I feel like most women
they
it's like
counted it that
that
way.
They have nightmares about that date. Like that date is so like they know they're like on January 3rd at 4:59 I received a phone call. And
mine's
so
March 31st. I received the phone call as well. Like
Yeah.
It was a shocking moment, but yeah.
And how old were you when this
I was
occurred?
A 26.
You were 26.
I was 26.
When you were diagnosed.
Right.
Walk me through kind of what took you to go get a screening at 26.
Oh, I'm very excited to tell you the story about it. So I originally found a lump during my pregnancy, actually. So
you're a mom. That wasn't part of the...
No, like I found the lump like 4 months of my pregnancy.
Okay.
So I told my OB doctor, hey, something's wrong. You know, like I had a little lump right here. It was like 1 centimeter at that time, like in the beginning. So I told them and then he's like, no, you don't have to worry. It's a mammary gland. He didn't send me any like follow-ups afterwards.
So they just thought due to your pregnancy.
Right. They just had me to wait. Okay. And then after I had my baby... that was still there. So I would ask my primary doctor at that time. And then he asked me to wait again. And then a few months after I asked him again. And then he sent me to ultrasound. And then they said it's just fibers, you know? I was like, okay, then I'll wait. Cause like, it was a very like same size from the whole year. Like the first time that I found until like I got the ultrasound, it was just
so it didn't change
like,
size or
it
anything.
It didn't change size.
So in your head, you're like, I'm okay.
Yeah, I thought it would be okay because like I think the reason why I couldn't really find out because I was still like breastfeeding, so you couldn't really like notice like the like exact size of it. So after the ultrasound said it's okay, so I thought it would be okay, but like after I stop breastfeeding him. It looks like, because, you know, like your boobs get smaller. And then, like, it was very noticeable.
Wait, they don't just get smaller, Lily. Let's be honest. They get small and wrinkly and droopy.
True. Why are you trying to remind me of sad moments?
Like, is there anything else that my breast can do to me? Oh, yes, breast cancer.
Right. So. Oh, my God. Yeah, the saggy moments. Like, anyway. So, I thought it was so noticeably, like, big. So I asked my primary doctor again, like, can you just, like, you know, follow me up with, like, different, like, steps or something? So he sent me to MRI, and it was the same result.
How long of a time from your, like, very first
to the year and a half? The
year out of the MRI. And a half.
Right. No. From another one. So I forced them to do biopsy. I had to wait another 6 months because he grew a lot, like, golf ball size, like 1 inch. At the end, like, that was a time when my stern turned 2. So, and then there was also a time that I decided to quit my previous job as a buyer. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back to school. So I was like, yeah, I need to check this out. Like, you know, what if it's something's wrong? And my husband actually forced me to, like, you gotta do this, you know? So I asked them to, like, I have to do the biopsy. And then they finally sent me to biopsy, like, 2 years after. And yeah, like, it's total time, like, from the beginning, from the pregnancy
until diagnosis,
like 2.5 years.
Oh my God.
Right. So
wow. What's sorry if there's banging in the background, there's barbells right. Dropping around. So what stage were you diagnosed as?
It was a stage 2B, like, right before jump into, like, stage 3. Stage That's why I was confused with, like, stage 2B.
Two and a half years.
Right. Even though,
does that,
like,
make you so, how does that make
I was
you feel?
So mad. Like, how would you guys, like, I, cause, like, it's gotta be something, you know? But, like, that was I was almost here, like, dude, should I sue them or something, you know? Like,
like, well, I think that it's not, I think what it is it's the principle and getting justice for your own health.
Right.
And of course, And I'm not speaking for you. I've just kind of known you now for, you know, a half hour.
Uh-huh.
But I feel if you're a part of our community, we're not this, like, Sue happy community. We just want to do the right things, right? We want to be advocates for our health. And because you're a coach and a nutritionist, I think that you are advocating for people's health all day long.
Right.
And I said this about my best friend when she was denied screening. It's a mindset that we don't believe in, right? It's a value that we don't have. And so how do we instill those values and make sure it doesn't happen to another person? I'm sure that's the anger of, like, frustration of, what if there's more women that this has happened to, and how do you stop this, and how do you make sure that
that's what I'm saying, like,
your story matters?
Even, like, during that, like, after I had a baby, today would not, like, put me to the mammogram because I was too young.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's why I asked my doctor, can we do biopsy instead?
And did you go back and talk to the original doctors?
No.
And
no, not anymore with him, because, like, that primary doctor, literally, an OB doctor as well, I don't want to, like, talk to them about it anymore.
I feel like we, like, should send them a package with, like, your diagnosis paperwork and just be like, hey, you told me I was too young and it happens, just so you guys know.
And you said it's a memory gland.
Maybe put in a frame or something.
Right. I know. I think, well, I should.
I'm sorry that happened to you. And I'm grateful that you're here to tell your story.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for.
I think that's the perspective we have to take on this. Mm-hmm. And we have to learn. If you're a listener out there, we have to learn from Lily. If you have a lump on your breast, it's a serious transaction with your doctor.
Right.
It's a very serious conversation.
Well, like, sometimes people get confused, like, because there is a little, like, guideline, like, if you touch those lumps, if it moves, then that's something okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, like, just, like, stays there, then that's not. But it is not. Like, every cancer cells and then every type of cancer, they all have different characters. So
they're all different.
Yeah. So if you feel something, then you have to bug your doctor or, like, do something, like, you know, to follow checkups with that. That's how I see, like, from, like, this, like, medical systems United States.
Hello. let's go there.
Like, literally.
Let's start talking about this because I'm like, so intrigued.
That's how I feel.
Because you come from Korea.
Right.
And I would assume, because I've never been to Korea, hopefully one day.
Oh, you've never been to Korea?
I've never been to Korea.
You should go.
I
should
come
with me.
Why not?
He's like,
why not?
Yeah.
Exactly. Why not? Let's go to Korea.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Right.
What was your belief going into this of what your treatment should have looked like, and what was the treatment that was provided to you?
Okay. So back in like 2015, March 31st, I got a phone call from my doctor. So I would talk to my uncle in Korea. He's actually a professor in like medical school as well. So he assigned me to the breast cancer team in hospital, big hospitals in Korea. So I literally flew like 2 days after I would get those like biopsy result. And my husband actually grabbed it from like up north or something. Like, he grabbed it right before I jumped into the plane. And then we literally flew back to Korea like in April 1st, I believe so. So we flew back to Korea in April 1st with my little boy as well. Because I believe that I would need him like
his
to fight with it like for an entire year.
I think your kids are your light.
Right.
So,
he was only two at that time. So I flew back there. And then like day after I flew back in Korea, they put me to another like whole like entire checkup, including PET CT, CT, MRI, mammogram, everything. They did everything in one day.
Wow.
And they sent me up those surgery appointment like week after.
So what I'm learning is we should all go to Korea.
I know, right?
For our medical needs.
Yeah. I totally agree because like, it was so fast and quick because like it's urgent case. Like you don't know what stage you're in because like from the biopsy result, they would not tell me like they couldn't see like what stage I was in. And then like they were just like, you just a cancer. It's a mucus invasive type.
Were you able to go to Korea because you still have your citizenship? Like,
yeah, I do.
So I'm listening to this as an American, right? I was born and raised here. I know how vulnerable our healthcare system is.
It is.
And how do you go to another country without having a, like, do you have, how do you have healthcare out? Like, how were you able to get healthcare out there?
Of course, I do have a citizenship out there, but I believe, like, if you're a non-Korean citizen, but you could still, like, be eligible if you live in Korea more than 3 months, that like, you could still apply for it, I believe so.
So
three months or six months or something.
Is it, like, 100% healthcare coverage?
It is, like, not 100%. I would say about 90-something percent. So, like, for example, for my breast cancer treatment, I only had to pay 5% of everything.
And right. How much was that?
So for the surgery, I did the partial mastectomy.
Mm-hmm.
It was about like $1,500.
Okay.
And I had to be hospitalized for 3 days or something, but including everything was $1,500.
Okay.
And then chemo was like only $50 per one session.
She's just like laughing.
No. Here's my strategy.
How much does it cost to fly to Korea?
Because now I have to look at my total. If you get like good deal of like flight tickets, like layover in China, I believe you could get it like $500. But you got to layover.
I want to pound my head.
You're gonna pound your head
into this table.
But yeah,
this is what's frustrating. This is for me as somebody that's been trying to figure out the system in our country when it comes to the early detection of breast cancer and really seeing the flaws in this very vulnerable healthcare system that we have.
It is.
To know and to hear a story like yours, to know that a good healthcare system is possible for a country and that you don't even live there.
No, I don't, but I keep my citizenship out there.
But you just have to be a citizen.
Yes.
And your country takes care of you, which
right,
is
they do.
Kind of crazy.
So like if you just go to like doctor's checkup, like you would only pay like $5.
How long do I have to live in Korea to be a citizen?
How long do I have to live in Korea to be a citizen?
You know what? We're looking for flight tickets right now. $690. Cheapest flight.
Because it's a peak season right now. But if you like book in advance.
Let's look in the summer.
Time, like, it's $500.
Why is it the peak season in Korea right now?
I don't know. Maybe like Thanksgiving. Because like,
it's holiday
season. But yeah.
Let's look for something for this summer.
Korea has really, really great healthcare system. See, because you're flying in December, so that's why it's not expensive.
Let's go February.
So yeah, for my tamoxifen, I only pay like $20 for a whole year.
You're blowing my brains out. Like,
no, right?
$630. Oh no, wait, we're pushing refresh.
It's not like the whole entire time, because like I had a cancer. The Korean government like support for severe cases of illness or something. So if you have a cancer, you only have to pay 5%. But like for 5 years of remission time. So after the remission time, I might have to still pay more, like 15% more, but still like very cheap.
Wow.
Very affordable.
You know, I don't want to make politics about a part of the show at all. I'm sure we all have our own opinions on things. $390. I'm moving to Korea.
I literally just came back from Korea the last week. I was there last week.
We're going to Korea, guys.
Let's go.
Send me a message if you want to come with me and get your treatment in Korea. This is insane. So you go to Korea. Did you get all of your treatment done there? And what treatment did you get?
The surgery, partial mastectomy and chemo and radiation. I'm still on the tamoxifen.
And how long did you stay out in Korea before you, like, did you wait till you fully recovered?
Like whole year.
A full year out there,
like literally full year, because I started treatment in April, like surgery, and a month after I started chemo for 6 months, and then after chemo I did radiation for 2 months, so it was like December, end of December ish I think, and after that, so they would want to see like how my results came out, so I had to wait like another 3 months to like, you know, to the whole full checkup again, and I was free. Cancer-free at that time, and I flew back in the States around like March, April 2016.
Wow.
So it took a year, whole year.
A full year.
Right.
And how did you find out about Barbells for Boobs?
Okay, so I'm training my clients in Next Level Gym in La Habra. Charlene visited our gym. Oh, actually, the owner actually introduced
Joe.
Like you guys. So Joe introduced you guys. Hey, there's a barbell swole boobs. There's a CrossFit like, and also / a breast cancer support organization. So you should definitely like talk to them and join, which was last year. Mm-hmm. That's how I started like work at the Next Level. And I finally met you guys today. I know it took a long time.
Are you in the support group on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just joined last week.
Oh, you joined last week?
Yeah. I've been scared. You know, to be honest with you, I've been scared to join it.
Why?
Well, I have certain demons inside of me. Because I'm not a breast cancer survivor.
Oh.
I always kind of felt like that was your guys' space. And then my sister passed away. And I, for a little while after that, it was kind of like, I didn't want to even engage with, like, it was hard for me to share stories and to, like, really talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've learned since then is, I think that myself and you and everybody in that group, we have all suffered a trauma due to breast cancer. And so that kind of makes me feel more a part of the community, and I get to look at it like my scars and breast cancer just nobody sees, and it's totally different than what you've been through in breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that kind of allowed me to feel like I belong. I guess it was like I didn't think I belonged.
You actually do, because like, I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. Like I was just talking to Charlene on Saturday about like your family members like who had a breast cancer and also like significant others are still survivors as well, obviously, because like even though they you and other like family members of breast cancer survivor, they do not have like a physically or have those like symptoms or like have those illness, but they still a survivor with
Yeah.
They're
on the sidelines. Yeah, they're surviving breast cancer as well.
Right. It's the same. Like they support your sister entire time as well, mm-hmm. right? When she was fighting. Yeah. So it's really important. Also, like I think it's really important for you to understand about the patients and then the
well, and that's been very helpful.
Educate other women's or the guys actually should know about like how you find about like early diagnosed breast cancers mm-hmm. as well. It's really important like point that I see.
I think that the thing I've learned the most from the support group right now is
right.
where women are in need, mm. you know? And so for me overseeing and looking at the programs at Barbell Shaboobs, making sure that we're meeting you where mm-hmm. your needs are, mm-hmm. that's been, it's almost helped me creatively
right.
Ensure that our programs are sufficient and effective. So, you go to Korea.
Right.
You live there for a year. You
full
get
year.
Fully cancer-free.
Right.
What's your cancer-free day?
Cancer-free day was like March. I forgot the date, but like March in 2016. Because I did another like checkup after all the treatments that I was free. And mm-hmm. I'm still free as of today. So, yeah. So next year is going to be my fifth year of
five
remission.
Years.
Yes, 5 years.
That's my a big fifth. One.
It is a big
we'll
one.
We'll have to throw a party here.
Yes, I was actually talking with Chris and Charlene as well. Like, I'm planning to have a party. I was actually talking to one of my friends who had a bar. So maybe his place or I could bring him over and we have like a workout and bartending.
And a bar.
Party.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are so down. What do you feel like was your biggest lesson from barbell or from breast cancer?
Honestly, I always use the code that my mom gave me because I'm not a conservative like Christian, but my mom is. So she said, like, the day that I diagnosed with breast cancer, she goes, like, God always give you at least like one ordeal in your life. But like mm-hmm. he gives you a strong like power to fight with, so believe yourself. And then mm-hmm. you have to happy that like you diagnosed in early age. So you are strong enough and then like you have more life to come to tell you about your stories.
Yeah.
Try to tear my eyes.
Yeah. No.
So yeah.
How did your parents handle your diagnosis?
They're very calm. Like I thought they would be like shocked and then like freaked out. But no, not really. They didn't. My mom was super calm. Like, she was like...
Kind of like your rock.
Right. But like, she's really good with like handling those emotions, I think. Because as a mom, like she doesn't want to like show her weakness to her daughter. Mm-hmm. You know? So yeah. She had to be strong enough to support me. So yeah.
And how old is your son now?
He is 6, but he's turning 7 in January.
Oh, we have the same age.
Yeah, we're actually same.
And does he understand? Have you had conversations with him about your diagnosis? Or
oh, yeah, he does. Like, he of course does. He's like, every October comes in and he sees those, like, pink ribbons. He's like, Mom, it's for you. It's your boobie. It's so, like, and boobie means in Korean, we call, like, jiji. So, like, he's like, Mom, you had to, like weird stuff on your chichi. Your chichi was sick. So Your chichi was sick. That's why he says, like,
oh, how right. special he that knows, he gets. Like, I think it's so incredible that it's unfortunate the way he had to learn what breast cancer mm-hmm. is, but I think it's so powerful for him as well.
Right.
As a
he understands.
He understands, and he understands it from his own life experience, and he'll always be aware of it, mm-hmm. you know, in his life. And, mm-hmm. You know, with the stat of 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer.
Right.
The fact that he's kind of already prepared and at the front lines of the disease is kind of incredible. Mm-hmm. So how did your husband handle everything?
Well, we have to be apart at that time because I was
going
to
say, did your husband stay out here and you while you were in Korea?
Yeah, he was here.
Wow.
Of course, like, it'll be a hard time for him as well because like, he has
to be here. Were your parents in Korea? Like, who were your caregivers in Korea?
My parents. Okay. My both my parents in Korea. And then
My
sisters are sick. Yes, my both of my parents are there. And also, I have other family members out there. So I personally appreciate that, like, I had a chance to spend a time with my mom, especially because I went to boarding school in Korea. So right after I graduated junior high, like I literally spent my whole time like, you know, like without my parents. So I kind of appreciate that like I had a chance to live with them again for a full year with Tommy, my son. So
that it's actually a really great way to look at it and great perspective to have on it.
Yeah. Because like after I graduated college, I came here. I got married, so I never had a chance to like spend a time with my family.
Yeah.
So it was a good time, I would say.
So what, like, who would you say Lily is today? Like, what, I mean, you were so young when you got diagnosed.
I know, right?
I always say that I feel like breast cancer just gives you a decade of wisdom that you get in a year because you have to question your life, you have to question your body, you have to question everything, your ability to be a mom, your ability to move, your ability to do anything for yourself is questioned.
Right.
And I think that gives you wisdom that you get so quickly that maybe it would have taken me, it's going to take me 10 years to have perspective on life that you get when you get a cancer diagnosis. So
right.
Where do you feel like you've grown the most or like who you are today and how it's changed you?
I would say that like, I didn't know that I'm really like positive person.
You're very positive. Your energy is like blasting through the microphone.
But like really enjoying myself, like being as it is, like being positive, like try to motivate others as well. And also that's how I realized that like there's a certain moments that during the cancer and before the cancer, you know, I didn't know where am I at, like with like how severe the case is. I was, of course, I was worried. And I was reading other people's like symptoms from the chemo. It was like they were having like a lot of side effects on it. There were some sad moments, but like what I see is like try to like cover those like things and have like a more positive moments, like fight with it. That's how I see in my life as well. So I'm not trying to see like a bad things. Try to enjoy the every moment that you're having and sharing with others as well.
Enjoy every moment.
Yes, enjoying every moment because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't want to regret that later on.
Yeah,
you have to enjoy your moments of the life. And like I said, like my mom told me that God always gave you the power to fight with it.
The power, yeah.
Right. So the positive is the power. It's just enjoy those moments, every moment that you have. That's how I see.
So if you were to hear or if a friend or a loved one was diagnosed with breast cancer,
right,
would you refer them to us? Would you, do you feel like Barbell Shrububus has been helpful in your, what you've got going on or?
Any types of like supporting groups, I would say it's really helpful because like there should be some moment that like if you're having a treatment like you will feel alone because like you have to put yourself like covered with everything because you don't want to get like other like side effects or infections because if you're doing a chemo you're losing all the immune systems, so it's very restricted in your life as well, you know. So like people like whoever is fighting at this moment, like I feel that like they're very you know, restricted in life. So I totally see that like Barbells for Boobs can help them the like healthy way to, you know, using their body weights or weightlifting.
Yeah.
Even I was still weightlifting during my chemo, and after the chemo's done, I was still like snowboarding for a whole season as well.
So you kept your activities really
high.
Yeah,
I did. But like I could have lift heavy, of course. Like my range of motion of the right side of the chest got like very limited, but still there should be the certain ways like have your body still like moving around, like have them work. So that's the point that we could probably.
Did you find any information out there? Like when you were going back into the gym and going through chemo and
Did you find any relevant information that was helpful for you, or did you kind of feel alone in that kind of process going while you're in treatment, getting into the gym?
Well, because like for the diet, you know, diets and nutrition part, because I majored in that, so it was kind of like easier to get a source from my studies and then like researches and stuff. For the workout parts, I was actually working out before, but like I didn't really have a chance to get like enough information about like what would be a like increasing your range of motion or how do you like have better mobility and this stuff. I had to figure it my own, like pretty much, because I was in Korea as well. And there's not that many like people at the time like working out and then very into the fitness. So not really. So, yeah.
Well, now we have it.
Yeah, now we have it. Like now we have to have those channels in Korea and in other words as well, the different languages, you know, the big
dream,
big
picture. Oh, we need to make a Korea boom. Barbells for Boobs station, right? On the library.
Yeah, because like, they don't have like a private gym like this. Like they do, but like it's not like same as here.
Do they have CrossFit gyms out there?
They do, but it's very small.
That was a really
I was in Vietnam like week ago. Dude, I went to the gym in Ho Chi Minh. Awesome. Super big.
You're so global.
Bigger than UFC gym. It's amazing.
In Vietnam?
Yeah. I'm sure you have a picture. It's super good. They're the owner's from San Francisco, and then he built a like crazy gym like with outdoor pool, restaurants, and like resting area, massaging area.
Really?
Muay Thai. I forgot the name of the gym.
Just look up Vietnam.
Ho Chi Minh City CrossFit right here. This is the gym that I went.
Ho Chi Minh.
Ho Chi Minh.
Ho Chi Minh. Ho Chi Minh.
Ho Chi Minh.
Ho Chi Minh.
Wow. HOCHIMINH. CrossFit gym. Maybe I forgot the name of it.
That's amazing.
Right. That's
Ho
no
Chi
joke.
Minh.
I don't know which one is it though.
Gosh, that just made me hungry because I feel like it's like a Vietnamese dish.
Ho Chi Minh. Oh, I think that's the one.
CrossFit Q7. Oh. Yeah. CrossFit Q7,
guys. If you guys are in Ho Chi Minh or Vietnam, that's the spot to go.
Well, we've got to get them educated on our education course.
Right. So that gym's really nice, like super big.
That's amazing.
The weightlifting area, CrossFit area.
Swimming pool available.
Juice bar. Yes, everything.
They're doing something right over there. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Was it mainly like...
Oh, that's the guy, Sergey.
Sergey.
He's the guy we worked out on that day. The main coach from Russia, I believe so.
From Russia.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. How did he end up there?
I went there for a business trip.
Okay.
Right.
You're so global. Very cool. Is there anything else you want to share with us? Any other,
I don't know, like
experiences you had that you feel like our listeners might benefit from hearing or anything?
I would say you guys should come to Barbells for Boobs. I'm
just kidding.
Just come to Barbells for Boobs.
Just come to Barbells for Boobs.
Come to headquarters.
Just to come to hang and like work out with us.
No, honestly, like working out like really, really, really helps. Really.
It does.
It depends on like your I think level of your working out, but it really does for me at least. Because like I said, I was still lifting and like I actually nailed a lot of skills on snowboarding at the time as well. I didn't have much time to go on like before, but at that time I spent a whole winter. I literally went up to mountain on the weekdays every day. I drop off my kids at the preschool and then in Korea. I literally go up there every day, every weekday, weekend. I took him as well. We snowboard together.
Oh my gosh. And for me, I think that snowboarding is way crazier than lifting weights.
No, it's not.
I mean, I've snowboarded maybe twice in my life and, you know, I just ended up bruised.
At least, no, you don't need to get bruised.
Okay, no. Maybe you need to teach me how to snowboard.
Yeah, we should go all the way up Olta Mountain. I'm going up to Mammoth this weekend for opening day. So tomorrow, actually. I'm excited. Here. Yes. I heard one of the survivors here.
Deanna,
right?
Her kids are, her two girls are.
In Mammoth.
Yeah.
Olympic teams, right?
Yeah, you should connect with her.
That's why I just heard. I'm like, yeah, I need to meet her up.
This is what Barbells for Boobs does.
It's all connection.
We are about connecting people. Yeah, I'll connect you with her.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I'm like, her kids are like 9 and something older.
They're twins.
Twin?
Yeah. Oh. I believe they were. Are they 9? How old were the twins? 9. Yeah. And they're snowboarders.
Oh, wow.
Fascinating, right?
Okay.
So yeah,
since my little boy is 6 and then he's turning 7, he's been snowboarding since he was 1.
Oh, gosh. They picked up very easily,
like the kids.
Maybe we should. We took our son once.
He liked it? Does he like it?
I think he liked the snow.
Yeah.
He liked it, right? Yeah. I can't remember.
You didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
Why? How come? Do you like snowboard, Chris? Yeah. You do? Okay.
You know what it is for me, and I think that when you're learning a new skill like snowboarding, and I look at things and I respect them as the sport that they are, and I really feel like you just need to learn from somebody that there's not like
right.
a deep connection with, like husband, like your husband shouldn't teach you, or
I didn't teach you.
I know you didn't teach me.
how did you learn?
But, like, I was learning
who
with
who
him.
Who taught you?
Benedict was actually a really good teacher. I'll give a shout out to Benedict. He was really kind and nice. But when I first learned how to snowboard, it was with my ex, and it wasn't my husband. So
maybe that's why it was
my significant other at the time, and he was great at it. He was like a professional, and and so he was getting frustrated. He would always get frustrated with me, and I'm like, just go. I'll figure this out. Leave me alone. So you really need to find somebody that's willing to coach you. At that time, he just wanted to do runs, you know, like mm-hmm. he didn't really care about teaching me.
Uh-huh.
I think it's more of me finding somebody really wanting to teach me and coach me through that. So I just haven't found that person.
We should go up there together. Yeah.
There's a photo probably. Where,
is it her coming? Oh, is it her?
That's Park City.
Yeah, it's in Park City.
Park City is so beautiful, huh?
That's where she learned.
You learn at the best condition. Even it's a February, that's like good amount of potters going on. Because I never been to Park City yet.
Oh, it's...
But yeah, I would love to go.
Park City is beautiful.
Right?
I highly recommend Park City. You highly recommend Barbells for Boobs, I highly recommend Park City Mountains.
Right.
Let me see this photo. It was so long. Oh, yeah, look at me. Like a little choo-choo train.
Choo-choo train. Did you like it? Do you like the snow, though?
Choo-choo. That's so funny.
You're good. You're balancing.
Well, I mean, sure. I'll take that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for
you're
that
good,
compliment.
You're good.
Well, Lily, thank you. Yeah. The only thing I really liked about snowboarding was the beer at the end.
That's the best part. I love those, like...
It was a beer. It was good.
Yeah,
I
love perfect. Those, like, beer in the morning, and then you start a day.
Yeah, and it's... I got a little bolder at each beer, you know, after each run, each beer.
Let me see.
No, he's just goofing at the beer.
Oh.
Lily, thanks for coming in. Thanks for sharing
thanks
your
for
story.
Having me.
Giving our listeners a perspective from a different country. I'm so curious what those options could look like.
Yeah. What, in Korea?
Well, just like to.
For snowboarding.
I mean, the options of just the different healthcare options in the world. Like, yeah. I think that we get so just. We only know what America offers.
Right.
And I think there's so much healthcare out there
it's so amazing out there.
Different. And so it's nice to hear that there's a different system out there and that women are being treated differently in different countries. I think it's a positive thing for us to hear.
We could talk more about it, like details, because like...
We should do an entire episode on global healthcare.
Right. Because there are like private insurance in Korea as well. They give you like compensation or not the compensation, like just a fee. Like just because you diagnosed the cancer, like it's a private insurance systems as well in Korea. Like
so, they actually support you when you become sick,
right?
Which is it's crazy. Not just
a, there is a public government whatever. Everyone can get those insurance, like the government insurance, medical insurance. But there is another like private healthcare, like we do in PPO and HMO and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's different because they don't actually they do cover your like medical bills plus. They give you the fee because you have a cancer, like type of like gap insurance for the cars and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like they have different insurance as well.
It's just so intriguing to me. I have a friend that his doctor
right.
is in India.
Uh-huh.
And so he flies to India like once a year to get all of his physical done.
That's what
done
I do now. Like mm-hmm. I go to Korea once in a year. I do full checkup. It only costs like $300, $500 sometimes.
Yeah.
For everything.
Yeah. Let's set up a podcast about
for that like healthcare system. I'm not.
And the options and the different options out there.
Right. Because
I know that like Allison Lau did some treatments in Mexico. Like I'm just curious about.
We could talk about that. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Right.
Well, Lily, thank you so much. And remember, listeners, be positive.
Be positive, yes.
This we're learning from Lily today is be positive and enjoy
your moment,
every moment you have in your life today. Don't forget that. Lily, thanks for coming in and sharing your story. I look forward to a global healthcare podcast with you.
Yes, more stories coming in, guys. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And we're going to choo-choo train out of here.
Yes. Choo-choo.